It's been reported that there is a high drop rate of learners from various programs. But if they can elaborate more, why are we having a high drop rate of learners? The other one, we are also noting that the AG's report made assessments on the quality of statements and they are non-compliant. What assurance do we have on the matter of backlog experienced and it's affecting NSF? Again, in program two, what steps will NSF take regarding the SDPs not submitting their performance reports? Because under audit outcome, NSF must ensure that there is a process of investigation taking place for all its SDPs. Documentation and processes of how payments are disbursed must be supplied in sense of accountability. On program three, ETDP CETA, what is the plan for the delays in the procurement of the service provider to do training for the unemployed learners enrolled in entrepreneurial and digital skills programs? And also recommending that many students are in need of bursaries and the entity must open up these opportunities to students. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Moms. We are honorable Lithia.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to everybody. Chair, Honorable Wafuze has a problem of network. He has sent me his questions, so I'm going to ask my questions and also his. Let me start with ETDP. Greetings to everybody there at ETDP. Just share a frustration that they've performed well in terms of AG reports throughout the years, and this particular time they did not do well. It's a cause for concern as far as that is concerned, but I believe that having listened to the presentation, I think they will improve next year, which shows the importance of putting women who are very capable in positions of power. They will continue to make us proud. On performance of the entity there, on page 51 of the annual report, it's reported that only 591 out of 1,227 unemployed graduate completed internship program. And according to them, this was due to inadequate monitoring of the entry requirements for these internship programs. Can they brief us on who is responsible for monitoring of this process? Why was this not noticed during the period under review? And how and where does this reporting take place in the organization? Again, on page 51 of the annual report, it is reported that only 150 unemployed learners enrolled in entrepreneurial and digital skills program out of the planned 1,000. Again, they're saying this is based in the procurement of the service provider to do the training. What were the reasons for the delay in the procurement of this service provider? And on page 52 of the annual report, it is noted that a significant number of bursaries were not awarded to students, the renewals of those. Only 220 out of the planned 1,944 were awarded, with a total of 1,724 was not awarded. What could be the low total of applications to be attributed to? What was the target of 1,944 based on? How did they arrive at that number? On page 55 of the annual report, the target of the number of CBOs, NGOs, NPOs supported with training intervention was not achieved. The deviation was because one organization was reported as an achievement had to be removed, and it was as it was incorrectly characterized as an NGO. How was this finding verified? Is there a vetting process that take place when this process, you know, is in place? If so, kindly explain that process to us. If not, why and how does it impact the entity? We're happy that they were able to exceed some of the targets. The university student requiring will to complete their qualification, you know, placed in workplaces, the number of TVETs completed their will program to acquire workplace experience and exposure. It has been reported that most students and graduates were placed within the allocated time. Why is this commendable? It also raises the question whether the cities that over budgeted in these areas, they can just explain to us how did they surpass or exceed these targets within the allocated time? Is it because they over budget on some of these things? And then going swiftly to NSF, this thing of NSF chair is a it's not right. Look, I think the qualification based on the instruction for them to give about 3.3 billion towards the NSF shortfall is understandable. We can't falter them on that one. But on others, on fruitless and wasteful expenditure, honestly speaking, you know, does not bode well with myself specifically. There are just too many issues here. I mean, for an example, if you go to the basis for qualified opinion on the program on skills development funding, the AG says they are unable to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence that skills development funding for the current and previous year had been properly accounted for, as evidence that services had been received could not be provided. What is the problem? Why can't you provide evidence on what you claim to have submitted? You know, there's you know, the AG saying this was due to inadequate project monitoring internal and expenditure approval processes internal. So their reason that AG was auditing for the first time service providers themselves is the reason why they got this qualified opinion. You know, it's not supported by evidence, because they themselves, they should have a project management committee or somebody or a department or a unit internally to you know, to monitor this project. And if they don't have, then you know, you can't say it's because the AG was auditing that side, the service providers. You know, it just cannot be. Again, on annual performance report, the AG engaged to evaluate the usefulness and reliability of the reported performance information in accordance with the criteria developed from performance management and reporting framework, and as defined in the general notice of the following selected programs presented in the public entities annual performance report for the year ended 31 March 1. There were material misstatements on compliance with specific matters and key legislation. AG identified material misstatements in the annual performance report submitted for auditing. These material misstatements were in the reported performance information of Program 2, the Skills Development Fund, and Program 3, the PSET System Improvement Funding, which says did not correct, management did not correct all the misstatements and reported material finding in this regard. One asked himself, why could they not correct these things if they have proper systems in place? So it just shows that there's no proper systems in place there. Again, on the annual financial statements, the financial statement that were submitted for auditing were not prepared in accordance with the prescribed financial reporting framework and supported by full and proper records as required by Section 55(1)(a) and (b) of the PFMA. Material misstatements of the current assets and current liabilities identified by the auditors in the submitted financial statements were corrected, that one is right, but the uncorrected material misstatements and supporting records that could not be provided resulted in the financial statement receiving qualified opinion. So, we just need to really CFO improve on these things. I mean, we do have internal audit, and I'm assuming you have external auditors. They must pick these things up throughout there before even the AG arrives. Now, let me go to questions, Chair, of NSF. For the on performance and audit opinion, for the 22-23 financial year, NSF had 38 plan targets, 38, and they only achieved 4, which is about 11%. Contrary to how they want to report it here, that they've achieved 4 and then partially achieved, which is between 50 and 100, and between 31 and 50, and between 0 and 30%. You know, that is just trying to be tactical. The reality of the matter is that you have achieved and not achieved, and they've only achieved 11%, which is 4 out of the 8 targets, you know. And this symbolizes that the performance in this financial year is the worst compared to the previous 3 financial years. And we must also note that NSF has consistently reported recorded poor performance over the past 4 years. They had 2 disclaimers and 2 qualified, you know, opinions. So in 5 years, they've obtained 2 disclaimer audit opinions and 2 qualified audit opinions. Can the NSF confirm that with this performance, they have paid bonuses and performance-related payments to its employees as reflected on page 197 to 199 of the annual report? If so, what justifies the payment of bonuses and performance-related payments given the entity's poor performance of just 4 targets out of 38, which equates to 11%? And program one, the target of having 100% of audit findings addressed was not achieved, because last year when we had a conversation with them, they said their target here is to get 100% of addressing audit opinion. They've not achieved that. The actual achievement, again, Chair, is very bad. It's 14%. It is critical to note that in the 2021-22 financial year, the NSF achieved only 13% against the target of 100%. The reason cited then for non-achievement was that NSF APP was approved and implementation had started. However, it takes time to finalize most of the actions identified by the business unit. And then for the 22-23 financial year, the non-achievement of the target was due to the lack of integrated systems and capacity constraint, which led to the delay in implementing the action plan. Some actions have been proposed until the MTT postpone until the MTT recommendations are implemented. These reasons for deviation, Chair, is very concerning. It does not appear that the NSF audit action plan developed to address AGSA audit finding was realistic, or that there was no real commitment to implementing it due to poor planning. It has been reported that some of the actions were postponed until the implementation of the MTT recommendations. Can NSF be specific about the audit actions that were postponed until the recommendations of the MTT recommendations are implemented? And when are the timeframes for the implementation of such? Of greater concern is that we have engaged with the NSF on several times last year in 2022. On its turnaround strategy and implementation of action plan to address the audit findings. There were some assurances that NSF was really committed to turning the fortunes of the entity around. However, the performance seems to suggest that there was not much effort made by the entity to resolve these issues. Hence, the entity still obtained qualified audit opinions and very bad performance on their programs. Capacity challenges there continue to bedevil the entity despite the reported establishment of its own HR unit. So they must tell us what has been the performance of this HR unit to date. I saw on one of their slides, Chair, that they've put you know, a slide that speaks about positions that are about to be filled, positions that were advertised and all of that. But can they tell us what has been the performance and the real performance of this HR unit? Who targets a percentage hundred of compliance to the PFMA and applicable regulations as the compliance report and percentage approved standard operating procedures and policies implemented achieve 0% achievement? In 21-22, NSF reported that the reason for not achieving 100% implementation of approved SOPs and policies was that only fewer SOPs and policies were earmarked for implementation. For the 22-23 financial year,
Honorability, the reason for as you wrap up, can you...
I'm now on Bafusa's question. Thank you.
All right.
On Bafusa's question, I had indicated. Thank you very much. The reason for deviation changed performance not be measurable due to the unavailability of the approved list of standard operating procedures and policies. It appears that the NSF, in its planning of the APP targets, put the cart before the horse. The points, this points to poor planning. And then lastly, I think on program two, like I said on Bafusa's question, he says that the program had 20 planned targets for 2022-2023, constituting 63% of the 38 targets planned for the financial year under review. You know, concurrently, the program achieved 0% of the planned targets. So on program two, Chair, it's very bad. It does not look good. And what is program two? Skills development funding, which, you know, seeks to address the basis of the existence of NSF, improving the skills base of South Africans, improving their chances of being economically active, and they achieved 0% of the 20 targets which they had planned. This program is the core mandate and received the bulk of the budget of NSF. In total, the program planned to fund 228,000 learners in different skills program and funded only 59,000. This is evident in the expenditure incurred under the program. Of great concern is that all three targets in the sub-program 2.2, SMME or cooperative interventions, achieve 0%. So we honestly, Chair, need to have a proper, honest conversation with the NSF. We want to understand how long do they programs. So if, for an example, I'm a service or skills development practitioner, I apply at NSF for a funding. How long does it take for them internally to approve or to go through the process and approve my proposal? And how long does it take after they've approved and sent to the DG, who's the accounting authority? How long does it take there? And how long combined these two processes take? Because we can't have a situation where they have so much surplus and then they can't, you know, move here. I mean, This is really concerning, Chairperson. We honestly need to have a conversation with NSF on this. And thank you very much. And I apologize for taking slightly longer, but I was covering Honorable Yabo's questions as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Litie. Honorable Pile.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also greet all honorable members and all stakeholders on the platform. And Chair, let me welcome all of the presentations and move straight to some of my comments and questions. I think the first one is to register our disappointment and discontent in respect of EDTP's CETA on the qualified audit. I think it's more disappointing when one has been performing optimally previously and then suddenly it moves into this sphere. And I hope that they will be able to correct this going forward so that they are able to move back to the status that they had. Chair, I just want to find out what is the percentage of unemployed young people that they accommodate in the program? Because I may have missed a slide that said so. And I'm saying this particularly because we found that there is this vacuum that exists between students that are studying at tertiary institutions and those that are working. And the gap in between is those that don't find themselves working, don't find themselves studying, and are unemployed. And then in respect of NGOs, it was reported that there was 9, in fact, 10, but one had to be removed. And that gives you an average of 1 per province. And really, I just don't think that that is sufficient or enough. What are the plans to increase this? Then also to look at... The AG said that, or states that the entity has non-compliance concerning consequence management. So what is the plan to be able to implement consequence management? And I think regular monitoring in this regard is going to be absolutely essential. Then in respect of NSF, you know, I have a huge concern that 3.3 billion had to be given to NSFAS for the shortfall. What impact has this had on the NSF? Because that's a huge amount of money. And then just to keep with what Honorable Lise was mentioning about Program 2 with in respect of NSF, you know, have they investigated the reasons for the high drop-off, which I think also Honorable Sabia has mentioned? But the one that I wanted to really emphasize is what steps will the NSF take regarding the SDPs that are not submitting their performance reports? And perhaps in program 3, there needs to be some kind of investigation concerning these external criminal forces that are affecting the project flows. I think this is serious and it must be attended to. And then lastly, Chair, just to ask whether they've considered interdicting these construction mafias, because I think that's the route that most entities have been taking to be able to still be able to complete their work. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Pile.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to colleagues. Chairperson, I've been covered by honourable members that have spoken before me, and just to add on the observations that were made by the Auditor General on NSF and particularly on consequence management. So the AG indicated that they were unable to obtain sufficient appropriate evidence that disciplinary steps were taken against officials who had incurred irregular expenditure as required by Section 51. This was because some investigations into irregular expenditure were not performed. So I just want to understand from the NSF, why were those investigations not done? Also under Program 3, PSET System Improvement Funding, the program only achieved 4 a target or 13% of the the target, despite the fact that this program receives the second highest budget of the entity. So it is very, very concerning that it could only achieve 4 out of the 11 targets for the 2022-23 financial year. Also on page 77 of the annual report, the NSF indicated that there was 5 million rand that was dispersed towards university infrastructure development and 9 million rand towards public development infrastructure. So I just want to understand from the NSF which universities benefited from the 5 million rand and which infrastructure was to be funded. And how were those universities selected, and what type of infrastructure it was funded to the value of 9 million rand? And lastly, Chairperson, the capacity development project funded targets that were not achieved as planned. I just want to know what type of those projects are and where were they offered. Thank you.
Thank you, Ntate Ngobo, Honorable King.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Acting Chairperson. Chair, I'm going to start with the NSF. Chair, we had the NSF before the committee on numerous occasions. The last time they presented to us was the turnaround strategy. So, Chair, when you see the audit outcome of NSF, it is very, very concerning that only four targets were achieved. The most concerning part is the fact that they could not even perform in the program, which is basically part of the core mandate of why the NSF is there for skills development training. So, Chairperson, on my point is, I just wanted to find out how good are the ICT systems, first of all, because if you consider the double dipping that's taking place, if you also consider students benefiting from FUNSA and from NSFAS, also getting SETA bursaries, and then you consider that there is this anomaly where students are being funded which do not have correct ID numbers, or the ID numbers are non-existent. So I wanted to find out, wow, how strong is the ICT system in terms of ensuring that they can develop and a systems interface with the Department of Home Affairs and with NSFAS and FUNSA in order to avoid such systems. Have they been in discussion with these departments to see how they can work together to ensure that they strengthen their ICT systems in order to avoid these errors from occurring? But Chair, I'm also concerned because we had the Nexus investigative report. I think the last time they mentioned there were five employees and that they are still busy with the process. I just wanted to find out how far are they in order to ensure that they implement the Nexus report into the APPs and what has been the outcome of it. Chair, I'm not going to dwell much on this first because NSF because I know everything has been said so far that I wanted to say. But Chair, just to raise the seriousness of the matter of the underperformance, we're not getting value for money. We have a new board. We're still not getting value for money, even with a new board in front of us. So a serious investigation needs to be done and a serious overhaul of the sorry, of the of the NSF sector needs to be done because we cannot continue at this rate every year. They're not performing, and yet we're wasting money on a department that is not value for money for us. So we will be addressing this with the minister. Chair, in terms of the education SETA, I am a bit concerned when you see they actually their spending is on par with what they are doing in terms of their targets. It's not much major of a concern. But Chair, that the fact that the Auditor General raised some issues regarding their consequence management strategies, also some irregularities in terms of material misrepresentations. So this SETA, I do believe there is far room for improvement. I do hope that the audit action plans that they will be implementing will yield fruit, and that they would present us with a proper plan before another audit outcome comes. It is also concerning that the Auditor General on both entities, considering that we actually went to the annual performance plan, they handed in beforehand, before the audit outcome came out, so that the Auditor General can be aware that they are on par, and yet they still transgress. So that is a serious concern that needs to be raised with the minister. In what value for money are we getting out of most of these CETAs if the APP is not going to be aligned to what the AG has instructed them to address? And if the spending is so out of touch that at the end of the day, the students are suffering, or future unemployed workers are suffering. So that's all I have to say, Chair.
Thank you, honorable members, for your questions and comments. I want the entity NSF to note the question from Honorable Hau Hau. She's not feeling well, but she is requesting that the entity must actually write in full details the breakdown of projects that hampered expenditure and all their reasons, with clear indication of contracts responsible and the scopes of those tenders. That's from Honorable Hau Hau. I hope that you are noting, and you would then respond to issues that she has raised. I think from my side, colleagues, please note that some of the issues have been dealt with by honorable members, the issues of underspending, issues of service providers that are paid for services that they didn't provide, issues of underperformance. I think when I started the meeting, Honorable King, it was if you were there, I spoke on this issue of underperformance and people getting bonuses that, I mean, it's very barbaric, and we must not allow it, and we want to condemn it with all its forms that it comes. On the issue of people who are actually doing double dipping, I think we would need a detailed report that indicates in terms of how many and where are those people located in terms of geographical spread, so that we are able to make sure that we discourage these tendencies all over where we do our constituency work. I'm fully covered by Honorable Litsie on issues of targets that were not achieved by the entity, and yet the entity had actually targeted more. Like, for instance, when we deal with NSF, every time we need to elaborate to say that why did you then do more target while you know that previously you didn't even achieve that particular target. I think it must come to an end that every day when we meet with NSF, issues of management, it's something that we lament on. Issues of planning, it's something that we lament on, because of we believe that if people are being given training to capacitate themselves and then they don't actually execute after those particular training, surely there's no value for money or on other issues. And honorable colleagues, I think our members are noting serious concern in terms of the audit outcomes and issues of misstatements. Those are serious issues. If you have an internal audit system that is working, I don't think that you would have a problem up until the AGSA itself come to deal with your service providers. I think, comrades, that one, colleagues, actually, that one is worrying, that as an entity, your internal controls or your department cannot even respond to issues that you need to actually do. I think we must get our houses in order and make sure that people, they do what they have to do, as it when they have to do the work. Because we are forever blamed that there's a problem about people who are employed or assigned on positions that they cannot even execute one mandate. So I think as this portfolio committee would need a revised report in terms of who are the human bodies that are there in specific management, so that we are able to advise properly if there's a need of a review or change of deployment based on the skills that individuals have. So that this improvement that you speak of, that we would want to believe that as entities you can do more, we are able to account on it on the basis that now we know who are those people who are there. On the issue of NSF and NSFAS, I think I'm covered by Honorable Nwabo, and I won't repeat what he has said. The issue on the delays in appointments, I think we need clarity. What could be the problem of this particular delay for appointments? And I want to check if you have a program of action with specific timeframes on when are you anticipating as an institution that all these vacant posts will be filled. Because I think some of the things that we are reading on your presentations, on your reports, it's on the basis that there's no human capital that is executing the work there. So perhaps we need specific timeframes and details on when are you anticipating to make sure that all these posts are filled by the entity. I want to check on both entities if you have the 4IR policy, because I know for us to better our IT system, obviously there should be a policy in place that speaks to say, how are we going to regulate how we are doing, how we are going to do our work in terms of 4IR. So I want to check if both entities, they have the 4IR policy. The other issue that one would want to check from EDDP CETA, it's on the issue that Memangasi, you have presented that you don't have any certification backlog. So I want reaffirmation and confirmation if indeed there's 0-0, because as the portfolio committee, we've been advocating for zero backlog. So I want, when you respond, to give us clarity that even if we can check with your beneficiaries, there's no one with outstanding a certification, because we believe that certification is an enabler for anyone to get to another level of development. So I want you to give me clarity with regards to that. And lastly, now I'm on the NSF. I think you are noting that members are saying that they are tired, that every time we're dealing with same issues when we meet with you as an entity. So there's a need of you colleagues to show agility to responding to critical issues that we normally raise as the portfolio committee, not as by the way, because whatever that you do, it will impact to us as people who are there but don't know what to do in terms of the work of Parliament. So please note those concerns of members with regards to how you do your operations and work at the NSF. And on the issue of investigations, I want to ask whether Mema Ngesi, on issues study investigations, Salona, that you have a time frame of the 40th of November that at least you could have dealt with those issues. I want to check if really we can get a report after the 30th of November in terms of that the status quo of those investigations. Because as members, we feel that when we speak about consequence management, people they think that we are just doing our normal slogans, but we are not biting and ensuring that that consequence management is happening. So I want to check if really, as an entity, you can promise this portfolio committee that you would give us feedback after the 30 to say you have closed all these matters of investigations. Because if you're not going to be dealing with those issues, one would take it there's a culture in an organization that Everybody does as he or she pleases because they know that there's nothing that's going to happen after. So I want entities to actually give us a detailed report as well with regards to their investigations per project on issues of duplications as well of beneficiaries, issues of cases that they are dealing with regards to service providers, lenders, and beneficiaries. And lastly, please note the issue of Honorable Mabo to say that perhaps we need indication on who is benefiting in those specific universities that we have been presented that they are part and parcel of your beneficiaries, so that at least we are able to note that who is benefiting and where are those particular people located. And I think one of the things that one would want to just remind colleagues on is the fact that as this portfolio committee, we are very serious about inclusion. So when you come to us and for any presentation that has to do with the work that you are doing, make sure that we don't ask you to say for women, for youth, for persons with disability, how many. We just need to get it as it when you present or when you send presentations to us. So that's it from my side. And lastly, ETDP CETA. On the program of pensioners who are actually beneficiaries, I really just need more reasons on how do you identify those people, and do you think that we would still need those programs that has 60 plus people in our space? And because one feels that money can be influenced for vulnerable and marginalized groups rather than those one who are 65 plus. I mean, in terms of economy, from my side, they are not viable for actually taking us forth on issues of dealing with economic growth. So that's it from myself. And please, when you respond, NSF and ETTP CETA, please indicate which ones would you be able to submit full detailed report. And because of we normally give people 7 days for them to submit their responses via ANELE. So as your response indicates that on this one, we will submit, on that one, we would respond now. Over to you. For now, I'll start with NSF, and then the last one will be EDTP CETA in terms of responding to questions and comment by members. Thank you.
So thanks very much, Honorable Chair and members. Your questions and concerns are well received and noted. Honorable Chair, I would actually, based on your directive, it will then be proper for me then to start with responding to Honorable Mabo's inquiry, where most of them, they actually relate to the submission of information at a later stage regarding Program 3 under achievement, as to which universities benefited, the infrastructure thereof, and also the type of projects that were offered there. We'll respond there, Chair, based on the timelines that you then offered to us in terms of your protocols. And also, just to complete then, Honorable Mabo's inquiry, he also inquired about consequence management with respect to the Auditor General's finding. Honorable Chair, what most of the time delays these consequent management processes to take place, it is that it's prescribed that they must be preceded by determination test so that there could be no loopholes that are left open. And the determination test with regards to the previous year, they have been completed, Chair, and they are at the stages where disciplinary letters are issued both to the internal officials as well as the the concerned SDPs. There are SDPs, of course, that have been flighted by the AG, and those also, they are subjected to first the seizing of them receiving funds, and also then for them then to explain themselves in terms of the results of the determination test, and then failure to which chair, they are then subject to legal processes. If I can mention, one of the SDPs had to repay the NSF about almost half a million in terms of duplicate standards that were offered in one of the programs in security, which the AG was able to detect. That SDP paid back the money to the NSF fully. So those are the procedures that we do. Also with SDPs that do not submit reports, this is the question also that was asked by one of the honorable members to say, what is it that we do then to those SDPs that do not submit reports? That was asked by Honorable Pillay. Yes. What we do, Chair, it's a process. We offer a time for the SDP to respond to the inquiries that we make, failing which the next step now is to freeze the funds, the flow of funds, and if non-compliance continues, it ends up being a legal process, which would then include the office of the state attorney then to then start recouping the monies from the concerned SDPs. If I go back to Honorable Sibiya with respect to the high rate dropout, this is due as a result of one, the beneficiaries hopping from one program to the other, simply based on the amount of stipend that they usually get. Some of these programs, they offer them more than the program that they are in, and as a result, they then abandon that program to then move to that one as a source of income, of course, which then brings the question of duplication again, to say a common system now that is able to detect beneficiaries in terms of their IDs will definitely help, though we do not have such an IT system at this point in time, Chair. But definitely we do agree that it's paramount that it should be procured. And then with respect to the backlog, Chair, of certification, and we are in constant consultation with the authorities that are assigned with the task of producing this certificate, and they always respond that they are attending the backlog. And of course, the backlog affects us in the sense that we are not able to report outputs that, or outcomes that are based on statement of results as well as certification. That affects our targets a great deal, Chair. But the fact of the matter is we are in constant communication with the QCTO in particular, because they are the custodians of certification. With respect to inquiries raised by Honorable Tsiye around the 3.3 billion of to the NSFAS, I think that matter is closed in the sense that he has indicated as such. Though we still have to respond appropriately in terms of categorizing it and closing it as irregular expenditure. Though the reasons could be valid, but then process-wise, we still have to close it in terms of the national treasury procedures. And then with regards to Honorable Tsiliti has raised quite a number of issues with regards to our how we treat our annual, I mean, our statements, annual financial statements vis-a-vis what the Auditor General requires from us in terms of usefulness of information, materials misstatements, and also the compliance with respect to grab procedures. And those I will give over to the CFO then to respond appropriately, those that relate to the treatment of the annual financial statements. And then with respect to the targets, you're quite correct, Honorable Litsiye, in the sense that for us, it is quite critical to disaggregate what we totally achieve and what we do not totally achieve, what lies in between. Though we agree to say the fact of the matter is achieved or not achieved, but then it assists us to actually know at what level of achievement. That helps us, in fact, to what type of strategy then or intervention must we put in place, because it will vary from an overall drastic strategy if our performance, as indicated, is 4, for example, out of 14 targets. That will need a major intervention, as against if our target is achieved maybe 70% or 80% of what was required. That was the main reason behind that, Honorable Litsiye. It's tactical. And then on performance bonuses, the department is no longer, the NSF is subject to the public sector regulations. And at this point in time, there are no bonuses that are given to senior management. It is only just the notch progression, the normal 1.5% movement from one notch to the other. But there are no performance bonuses that are given out. And also, Chair, it's only a very few SMS members that receive those, simply because of the thinness of capacity that we currently experience. Some of them, they carry load more than they are supposed to. Those are the ones that move from one notch to the other, not necessarily getting a performance bonus. And then with respect to the Ministerial Task Team report, Chair, if you integrate it to what we do, it isn't necessarily that we are waiting for its full implementation. Some of the recommendations are currently being implemented. For an example, in terms of getting more capacity, in terms of establishing our strong ICT system, that is in process. As an example, we have consulted one of the CETAs, the PCETA, which they are implementing a system that is quite productive. In terms of the platform that they use, software platform is almost as the same as ours, which is Microsoft Dynamics. And so we are working together with them to see how they can share those best practices with us so that we can make use of the current Microsoft Dynamics system that we have. We also are improving our infrastructure, IT infrastructure, and hardware. The other delay maybe that is affecting us, it is the question of migration or movement away from where we are currently to CSIR, to say if we were to improve the infrastructure where we are and 4 months or 5 months down the line we move to the other venue, we might even face, I mean, a wasteful expenditure process. So we currently are doing what we have until we are certain that we are moving in terms of location. And then with respect to Honorable Litsiye, capacity challenges, the HR unit, I must say, they have done quite a lot compared to what would be the situation if they were not given, I mean, that leeway to then operate as the NSF HR. It has not been long that they have started to operate. It's hardly 6 months now, but what they have achieved now, they have advertised the extra posts that are in, and they are currently carrying out the processes of interviewing those candidates. The outstanding posts, it is as indicated there, where they've indicated where the procedure, the processes are currently. But we are free to interact continuously with the committee to indicate where we are with respect to the recruitment now levels. And then with regards to, you also asked the question, Honorable Tsiye, on NSF planning of projects, which I would want to integrate with the poor performance in terms of skills funding, as well as the turnaround time. Under normal circumstances, the turnaround time, Honorable Tsiye, it shouldn't, we've debated this internally, and we have put into systems towards moving in that direction. Amongst the systems that we have put into place, it's a process where we have decentralized the evaluation of the responses that we get from solicited proposals, as well as response, as well as processing the unsolicited proposal. Previously, all those were coming to the center, and the center was very thin in terms of capacity, and you had capacity in these regions, but they were limited by the fact that they couldn't, their job allocation didn't give them the space then to process these applications. But what we have done since then is basically then to decentralize this in terms of the submission which the DG has approved, to say they may then at a provincial level or regional level work on these proposals so that they can gain speed. Under normal circumstances, the turnaround time should be 3 months, at the most it should be 4 months for the full cycle to basically take place. The major difficulty, honorable members, that links to the question that was asked also by Honorable King with respect to the underperformance, is the fact that we were very, very late with respect to processing the RFP that was supposed to happen in the previous cycle, simply because of the capacity issue that I've spoken about. And that RFP was carrying about 95 SDPs on work integrated learning, 40 on people with disabilities, as well as worker education, about 20 of them in total. That carried a portfolio of 150 with a total amount of about 3.5 billion. That it's only now that based on the capacity that we have, it's only this current year that we were able to process the returns on these RFPs, which for 23-24, there's going to be a huge push of project disbursement in terms of what I'm just saying now, to say those that were supposed to have been completed in the previous year, they have now located themselves due to capacity in the current year. And then if I relate to Honorable Pillay, I think I have addressed the question of 3.3 billion and also the dropout rate, the reasons thereof, and also the SDPs not submitting. What is it that we do with respect to that? We've noted your your advice, Honorable Pillay, with respect to going an extra mile in terms of interdicting these infrastructure mafias in terms of disrupting our infrastructure projects in the TVET colleges. And then I've related to Honorable Ngobo's question, and in terms of us submitting the information, also the question of consequence management. And then, Honorable King, it's true that our ICT systems are currently very poor. I must just confess on that one. And as a result, that is where you then get these duplications and the ID numbers not being able to be, interfaced from one program to the other. That is the progress. By the time we are done with the ministerial task team report, we will have a system by the end of 23-24, in fact, 24-25 financial year, we'll be able to have a fully fledged system. And as I have said, that currently the stopgap measure that we are implementing is our collaboration with the PCP, the PCTA in relation to the use of the Microsoft Dynamics process. With respect to the Nexus report, Honorable Chair, forensic report, the progress thereof, and consequence management, I must indicate that at this point in time, the processes have taken place. There is one dismissal that has taken place. There are two outcomes where those officials were required to repay the sanction that was delivered to them to repay the money to the NSF. And two most senior disciplinary hearings are still to take place now in October as well as November. But it's not the end of it all, because the disciplinary panels, as they are sitting, they are able to also flesh out some of the other officials that are implicated. And they then issue out letters of intention to basically carry out disciplinary processes against those members. Then on the side, Honorable Chair, of the hawks, we must remember that they are also in the loop regarding this. From that side, they take project by project. From the forensic, the projects that were investigated were 10, and they are tooth-combing project by project. And up to now, they have reported to us that they have completed one project in terms of prosecutions, and they have made submissions to the NPA for prosecution. It's actually like keeping us updated. Now, their approach was whether to give us a report once they've completed the 10 projects. But then for the purpose of this committee and other state committees, we're of the opinion that as soon as they complete an investigation on the project, they must then report on it. Hence, they have completed one up to this point in time, and apparently it's ready for prosecution. I think, Chairperson, Honorable Chair and members, I think I've tried to cover your inquiries. Maybe I should give to the CFO then to respond to those issues that were outstanding from the inquiries of Honorable Litsiye. Through you, Chair, may Mr. Zamakubheka respond then to those. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mabusela.
Okay, no, thank you so much, Chairperson, and thank you, Acting CEO. So I think there are three issues that I need to respond to. But the first one, I think it has been closed relating to NESFAS 3.3 billion. So I'll go straight to the second one. The second one it relates to the misstatement, a material misstatement on the financial statements. It was raised by Honorable, if I'm saying it properly, forgive me if I'm not saying it properly. So that one relates specifically to material misstatements. So Chairperson, as NSF, we need an integrated automated commitment schedule. The reason for this misstatement, it is because most of the SDF expenditure related transaction are linked to it. For example, you have your payables and receivable from non-exchange, you have your deferred expenditure, you have provisions. So if you are using the manual commitment schedule, it is very difficult for you to keep track. I think I will have to link it to your question that speaks to the internal controls. As soon as we have the automated commitment schedule as NSF, it will be very simple for us to track this this transaction. So the challenge that we experience throughout the audit is that we submit the manual commitment schedule and then the HE will interrogate it. So because of the because the schedule is manual, then there will be human errors, there will be formula errors, etc. Then it leads to the material misstatements. So for us is to fast track the acquisition or procurement of the ICT system that will assist us have a commitment schedule that is in the system, where with the click of the button, we are able to access a certain transaction, and then the HE also will be given the access to that system. That is how we are hoping to address the matter. Obviously, this is linked to the MTT recommendation. So on our side, it's on a radar, and we want to implement it as soon as possible. And then the third question related to AAP, I think it came with honorable member late as well. The issue of the 14% that is reported on the audit action plan. So here, Chairperson, it's a matter of the timing difference, because we report on the APR reports on the 31st of March. However, we need to wait for the AG to confirm whether this 14% is valid and trace it to the supporting documentation. So upon the AG reviewing the audit action plan, they came to a conclusion that at least we have covered 28 out of 20, out of 58 audit findings that were part of the audit action plan. So that gives you about 48%. I do acknowledge that the percentage there is still not a favorable percentage, because we were aiming for 100%. However, I think going forward, we even consider to rename the indicator, because the HE is saying we are saying we are looking at all the findings that were raised by the HE, which now makes it 100%. However, what we want to do is to look at least the material findings, because we want to improve NSF, but it can only be done on a step-by-step basis. We cannot improve NSF with addressing all the findings of the HE. So going forward, we'll be reporting on the material findings. Hopefully, if we report on those or address those issues, then we'll see the audit outcome of the NSF changing to unqualified. Chairperson, those are the three issues that I needed to respond to. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We'll then move to EDDP Sita.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for all the comments, particularly those strong words from yourself, Chairperson, which we've certainly taken note of. And from my side, I would want to share with our board at the next meeting. I think, Chair, I would just want to say we share the disappointment a number of members have expressed in the audit outcome, the fact that it is a regression from previous years. And we are certainly, of course, committed to correcting it and to implementing whatever consequence management might be required. So, Chair, that's it from my side. Allow the CEO, I don't know if she does want to respond now or whether we would want to do so in writing. I think a lot of the issues were comments, but there were some specific details. If I can hand over to the CEO. Thank you, Chair.
Very much, Chairperson, and through you, Honourable Chairperson, I will go quickly on some of the areas. Chairperson and members, thank you very much for the questions. We are taking note of the areas that you have emphasized, your concerns and your expectations. I've just put this not in terms of who asked the question, but categorized them on underperformance areas, under expenditure, arriving at the targets and completions, for IR issues, policies and plans. I've also looked into the issue of certification. AG raised matters that the members have asked. I would like Chairperson to indicate that on the issues of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, where we have the dates of the 30th of November. After 30th of November, I would make sure that we make a written presentation in terms of the progress on how we have dealt with those investigations and the matters that are there. And I will provide that report on the first week of December and coordinate with the Secretariat of the Portfolio Committee if that is suitable and allowed from your side. I will quickly just get to the issues of underperformance because quite a number of issues were raised and the concerns. And we do concur with the committee. If you look at these areas, these are the critical kind of areas, and especially for students as well as the unemployed persons in the country. I will not go back to the issues of deviations that I have raised there, but on the issues that the members have raised on procurement delays, the actions that we have taken, our future plans to avoid recurrence, how are we vetting the reports that we're getting, the monitoring aspects that need to be strengthened on our side, as we have done in the past. And I should say that most of these are just the new kind of the findings. The challenge that we have had, if you look at our previous reports, Chairperson and members, is on completions. The unemployed persons that we deal with, they are really desperate in getting the jobs. When they get the training or after the training or before the end of the training, when they get some kind of employment or a better learnership in another city or a better kind of paying stipend, really they do drop out. And that is the challenge that we're facing. We have discussed with the department in terms of the dropout rates that we're getting. And it goes back to what the Honorable Chairperson raised, the issues of double dipping. That's what we are experiencing. And we are working on mechanisms to address that so that the money goes to a number of people rather than a double kind of payments to same kind of individuals. Yes, in terms of addressing our procurement delays that we've recognized, where we used to work with the higher education institutions to provide this because we believed in longer kind of programs with the credit accumulation. However, there were issues that AG raised on the issues of unsolicited kind of proposals, and therefore our procurement got delayed. But the plan that we're having now is to get a pool of service providers for a period of 3 years to 5 years, because we didn't want to have service providers that will not deliver. We are guarding jealously the resources of the organization. If you can look at our previous reports, issues of procurement, we barely had a lot of challenges because we believe in sound financial management on all of those issues. There are challenges on dropouts, as I have indicated, on the four areas.
especially on completions, and we have put a strategy now of further monitoring and vetting and following up on the students. But it is very difficult to control the movement of the unemployed persons. I should say that as much as we have to work on it, the ones that is underperformance, there will be a subsequent kind of under expenditure. As ETDP CETA, we do a trench payment system. You first get into the letter of award, into a memorandum of agreement, into putting the plans together so that we align those with our APP. And we do make a payment once all service deliverables are met. And our payments are mainly on four kind of the quarters, a very small amount at the beginning so that we get all the documentation. So by the end of the financial year, we will realize that not all deliverables by 31st of March would have been attained. And we report as at 31st of March. And then we do a lot of the payments subsequent to that as the programs and projects progress. Secondly, our programs and projects, we avoid a situation of having workshops, quick kind of, they span over a long duration of time. Some is the training of the teachers, is the bursaries. And the issue of the financial year vis-a-vis the academic year does create a bit of a challenge in the spending. Because in the current financial year, like 23-24, we will issue the bursary payments for the students, both for the students that we are funding, let me call them unemployed kind of, in the lack of a better word, because unemployed is a different thing. And those that are workers, the lecturers, and also officials of the various kind of constituencies. We start the registration in the academic year. And that quarter is January, February, March. And as we get to the delays in the registration and the documentation, we get to be paying a little bit later because we have to make sure that we're paying the right people that have registered with the right kind of those. So that is something that we are not using it as an excuse, but making sure that there's value for money and we pay for the right services at the right time for the right kind of the people. It might be that we are very much conservative on that kind of an issue. Setting of our targets, the third point, Honorable Chairperson and members, we do have our constituencies and we look in terms of our sector skills blends and the gaps that we're having. We also look into the skills that are in high demand. But again, we engage with the department as we sign the service level agreement and look at the targets that the department is having and the sharing among all of the sitters. And that's how most of the targets are getting from the constituencies as the need is arising from their own kind of the plans. And also we look into the labor market from the research that we're doing. There is a note that was made by Honorable Member that the NGOs is a drop in the ocean. I do agree that if we are supporting 10, it's a drop in the ocean, but it gives us comfort that those are not the only ones that we support. Those are the major individual NGOs that are doing significant kind of work and have projects that are running to support them. But it's a matter that we're going to take into consideration. We are working in partnership with the National Association of Social Change Entities in Education, which is a collaborative structure to support NGOs. So there is a pool of the NGOs where they are put together that is called NASCI, under Joint Education and Training Collaboration. So we are supporting those. I think we may provide the committee with a bigger kind of how do we support the NGOs in education and how do we do the selection of such. Coming to the issues of the policy and the plans on the ICT technology for IR, we do have our ICT policies. We have a digital transformation strategy. We also have a committee of the board on ICT governance that is regulating and looking at the ICT governance and also the projects. And I did mention that we also not only look inwardly, we are supporting our technical vocational education and CET institutions, where in this at CET institutions, all nine provincial institutions, we are working with them to ensure that there is a digital learning platform in partnership with some of the universities that are assisting the CET colleges. And we do have the centers of excellence in the 10 TVET colleges. And I hope at some stage, members, if they can visit Vembe TVET College, they would see some of the work that we are working in other TVET colleges in enhancing the 4IR kind of center. And I should say that the last time we presented to the portfolio committee, it was 2019-20, where the portfolio committee requested us to support the audit outcomes of the TVET colleges, because even at that time, we never had a qualification. That was a request that we fulfilled. And we had done training of all the TVET college managers in supply chain management and in finance. And if you look into the audit outcomes of the TVET colleges, they did improve, but it's just contrary that ours has to improve as well. But I'm just saying that it's something that we had taken seriously to looking into that. And we did have a research on 4IR and understood some of the challenges that TVET colleges were having, and we are implementing those recommendations at this point in time. On the issue of certification, I raised this matter because the Honorable Chairperson raised it as a concern that there have been backlogs on the certifications for the beneficiaries that are getting accreditation from the CETAs. This is the matter that we all know that in the past it did happen. I was responding to say that the previous backlogs, we did deal with that. Currently, we have deployed a new system that is more automated, that is more forward-looking. Yes, there are some challenges in that system, but we are engaging our service providers in that. So I was addressing the issues of the backlogs of the certification. And I must say that it will be easier for our service providers now to get into the system, to log into the system, and then they will be able to print their certificates and not wait longer than that. So I was just responding to that. We have few challenges, but we're dealing with that. But the previous backlog we dealt with. On the matters that were raised by the AG, I think on the irregular expenditure, we have been able to deal with the matter because as one involved the vetting of the three board members and the delays thereof. That matter has now been addressed as we speak, as well as the issue of the contract that expired, the 505,000. We did have some consequence management in that area, except that by the time we got the report the 31st of March, we were still dealing with the issues, but I will provide to the committee in terms of what has happened. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I did indicate that Chairperson will be in a position to give you a report after the 30th of November. When we deal with the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we have to go to a determination test, so that we don't just take it at face value and find out in a proper kind of systematic way whether there was no fraudulent criminal kind of activities as we engage in fruitless and wasteful expenditure. It's not only the issue of just taking the money, but we have to make sure that there are no fraudulent or criminal kind of activities. And if there are such, we have to do more than getting the money and just the consequence money, because we have to get the money back. If we have to involve the police, we have to do that. On the issue of the qualification, I think we spoke about it. Yes, it is disappointing. It's on the issues of the invoices, as now we are going to have invoice repository. It is based on the invoices that were in dispute between the end users and the service providers. And that the AG is, was saying that wants to even see those, because in the past we have never entertained, because we have not made any payment on the invoice that is not vetted, that is not aligned to the service delivery. Hence now our strategy is to get an invoice repository, a service delivery note that goes to a dedicated email, so that we can be able to see even on the issues of the delays on the payments on the 30 days. Those issues we are quite committed to addressing. And we know that it's not a matter that will be difficult to address. Whilst we are looking at the entire issues of compliance and improving our performance, so that we remain as the CETA that is providing the kind of the services that are required, given the spectrum of our service delivery and the demands that we need to meet in the country. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Without going into a lot of issues, we will provide a written response on some of the issues. Thank you very much, members, as well.
Thank you, Memangresi. I think I can see that there are no hands for follow-ups, and one believes that you have responded to issues that were raised, and you have noted our comments with regards to what needs to be done, because it's one of the, our responsibility that we don't just interrogate the report, but we make recommendation and advice where we're supposed to. I think this was one of the fruitful meeting. I'm noting that when we engage members, they are not using one brush to paint two entities. They are clear in terms of acknowledging that there's work that has been done in EDDP CETA, and they are hoping that NSF will just pull up their socks in terms of dealing with issues of underperformance. And I think we are noting that it's a concern that every time when we meet with NSF, we deal with same issues time and again. Delays, I think one of the things that we need to note as well is the agent importance of dealing with integrated information management system to address the challenges of funding same learners by CETAs and NSF. Funding of deceased learners, learners with IDs not corresponding with Home Affairs system, I think that one needs to be attended as an agent matter by both entities. And on the issue of backlog, I think as the portfolio committee members, we need to take the responsibility in terms of engaging QCTO so that they fast track this issue at the backlog, because indeed there's an, they are the entity that is responsible to ensure that the smooth transition with regards to certification. Issues of consequence management against skills development providers who are not submitting the necessary information required to enable the entities to report on the performance. It's one of the things that I think the minister's office must deal with it and ensure that the seriousness in monitoring and evaluation of both entities. Because some of the things, colleagues, I don't think they need to be picked by the AGSA, while they are supposed to be dealt by those who are employed within entities. Just to make an example, on ETDP CETA, we have the manager there for manager performance monitoring and evaluation. So some of the things that we have noted as members, I think the person who is in authority must try to, you know, check up to deal with things that are not happening right, or issue study project, so that next time now we would get where we want to to be as ETDP seater. We are noting that both of you colleagues, it's not that you are happy on the outcomes. And I think it is good that you are not happy. So you need to do the right thing and be on course on responding to issues. We all agree that these entities are critical to ensure that we respond to the triple challenges. So we cannot waste time in terms of forever planning on what needs to be done, but we just need to implement what needs to be done. And one would say and indicate that it is so impressive that all these entities, there's intergenerational workforce. So as the committee, that's one of the things that we pride ourselves that we like to see happening in all the institutions that we are dealing with. However, it is a challenge and a problem if that intergenerational workforce is not equal to the transformation or outcomes that we would want to see. So, Rikopa, please help me on deck in terms of ensuring that we deal with issues that are at hand that we need to address and ensure that we take our country forward. But with that has been said, I would want to release NSF and ETTP CETA and remain with members so that we can adopt our set of minutes. I would want to thank you for honoring the invite and as well coming to present to us in terms of what is it that you have been doing annually 2022-2023. Lastly, let us not see recurring of program of actions that were planned and not being responded to. It is important that when you plan according to what you can manage. Don't overplan, because of overplanning would then affect your budget, will then affect your report as well. And you'll be seen as a delinquent in the institution because of being more ambitious while you know that you can just do the little within a certain space of time. So we want to appreciate the work that is being done and we hope that you can do more. You are released. The meeting is officially adjourned. Only members of the PC must remain so that we adopt the set of minutes. Is there anything that you want to say, Mr. Hendel?
Nothing from my side, except appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Ntate Mabusela, anything that you want to say?
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity to, with NSF, to present itself here. Thank you, Honorable Members.
All right, thank you, Pa. Mema Gasa?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity to present, and we look forward to taking the responses further. Thank you very much, Honorable.
Okay, thank you, colleagues. You can then adjourn the meeting, and then I will remain with members of the portfolio committee.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.